Well, there's nothing like freezing fog to make a person start thinking about gardening. And when we start thinking gardening, we think about Tom Casper, who has, as we all do, a beautiful blank slate. I'm mixing my metaphors here, upon which to write gardening history. Da 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 da. Hey, TK.
I was going to go, I think my mind is a beautiful
beautiful blank slate.
Beautiful blank slate.
I hear you. Hey, I'm going to quiz you now. I just want to make sure that you have been paying attention to this program. What is the one vegetable, one community vegetable of the year this year?
I have not heard yet.
TK,
wait. It was yesterday morning that you announced it. It's always the first Monday.
No, it's always New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Is it the tomato?
No. And a tomato's a fruit.
Well, I know, but people put it into that category.
It's green, and it's not repulsive.
Green as broccoli.
No, that was last year. And that explains 2020. As I mentioned to the nice lady, Haley Diem, I said, well, that explains 2020.
It's all the broccoli's fault.
The only thing that would have been worse would have been Brussels sprouts. No, the vegetable of the year is the pea.
Oh, peas. Oh, that's a great choice.
Yes. They're not repulsive.
No, they're delicious.
They're fun to eat out of the garden.
And nutritious.
And you can put them in all kinds of stuff. They're going to have some seeds available for snap peas, snow peas, and another kind of pea, and I forgot it. Shame on me. How many different kinds of peas are there? Go.
Oh, well, there's dozens and dozens of different varieties or different types.
Do they come in different colors? You know what I mean? People are making like purple potatoes and stuff. And
yeah, there's quite a few different colors of peas.
Really?
Not as many as some of the other vegetables. But green is the pretty common color.
Well, green is a beautiful, perfect color. But if a person wanted to plant, what if you wanted to plant like a rainbow garden? And you could plant all different colors of peas.
Yeah, you can get pretty close. Not like you can with carrots or tomatoes or even potatoes have a little more range in color. But peas will give you a variety of color. Well, even beans have a great variety of colors. So that's a great one. I wish I'd listened. Unfortunately, my radio has broken in room.
Mm-hmm. Every room. Yep.
Every room and my car. Because usually I do listen to it. I remember past years Michael Gabler would write the song and sing a song about peas.
You know what? Yeah, but you know what you missed? You missed our poet laureate, Gary Bolhauer's reading of an original poem about peas. It was fabulous. And I want to just mention that entire story, the text of the poem, the reading of the poem, not to mention the ability to stream online, is all available at KUMD.org.
I'll have to check it out.
You're out of excuses.
Yeah. I am out of excuses.
So is this, I guess thinking about different varieties of peas got me wondering, are we at going through the gardening catalogs and dog-earing every single page and imaginary thousands of dollars? You know, when you're shopping online and you go, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, and then, you know, it totals, that will be $7,000, and you kind of just dump out of the page.
Yeah, the way I'm picking out seeds, I'm going to be farming in my neighbor's field.
Mm-hmm. There you go. But you got to make sure that you have, you know, exotic peas.
Yes. Yeah, and I had already gone through the pea section, and we had picked some out already that we're ordering. So that's a great choice. That's an easy to grow and early in the season to grow. So people can see success pretty quickly with that relative to waiting on some of the other vegetables that might be 3 or 4 months in the garden before they produce peas are pretty quick. And you can plant those so early, really, as the snow is leaving the the area the peas can be planted. So,
okay, so refresh my memory, because you know I grow so many vegetables. Do peas climb?
Yep.
Okay, so you have them on some kind of a little trellisy thing, which is super fun because you can watch them grow and you can watch their progress every day.
Yep. Yeah, so they have little tendrils that wrap and climb. Although now some of the newer varieties, because people with limited space, they're semi-bush or not as heavy a climber. So you can get ones that maybe only climb to 24 inches or something like that instead of some of the old varieties that used to get 4 or 5 feet. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a nice choice.
But, wouldn't that be pretty even in your house? I mean, I'm thinking about, like, 5-foot climbing vine thingy going up the side of the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, having fun with it. You know, and sweet peas, of course, are same family and have all the blooms and things. So,
well, maybe that's what I should grow, because I do like flowers. I could grow sweet peas.
Yeah, I'm stuck at, I do like flowers.
Well, I would just explain that I misunderstood the directions or something. I can always plead ignorance, and nobody ever challenges it. They say, I understand.
It's
my superpower.
Your superpower.
It's my superpower. So what else are folks doing? Going through the gardening catalog, spending imaginary money. Love that.
Well, you know, for many, many decades, I get a little story here. Many, many decades, gardening was the number one hobby in the United States. And a few years ago, surprisingly, fishing kind of took over that. And back 2 years ago now, gardening, according to all the folks, is now again the number one hobby, and certainly will be. It was very, very strong in 2020. And the interesting thing is a lot of the new gardeners are millennials. And a lot of them are getting into gardening for the first time. So there's a lot of new interest in gardening. And surprisingly, a lot of them don't have land that they garden on. So most of what they're doing is containers or indoor gardening.
Oh, cool.
So they're buying houseplants, but they consider gardening, which is great because it is a form of gardening. So there's a lot of interest in houseplants. And of course, I've had that interest, too, over the years. And I remember one of my first things ever doing was growing a plant on a shelf as part of a class in school, I think, in the second grade. But so there's a lot of interest in gardening and a lot of interest in, okay, so I have these plants. How can I make more from these plants? I want to share them with my friends. I want to put more in other rooms. I'd like to offer them for sale, potentially, whatever it happens to be. So there's a lot of interest in how do I take that house plant that I have and make more from it. I don't know. Did you ever, as a child, divide African violets?
My mother had African violets that she could magically keep alive. But when I was in college and had my first apartment with a south-facing window, I turned into a houseplant nut and did a lot of potting and repotting and some dividing of stuff and had basically when I came home for the summer, with an entire car stuffed with plants and a parakeet in a cage. Lisa's home, yay! And Mom, did, you know, we had to put all the plants in the front room because they were everywhere. Yeah. So I did a little bit, but not African violets. Those are, I've never been able to sustain an African violet. Again, I plead ignorance.
So they're actually pretty surprisingly easy to divide, and you can take old African violets or ones that have overgrown or aren't looking as good anymore. And you can, as easy as it, cut off all of the leaves and then just, and it's best if you cut those at a slight angle and then tuck those into a good soil and keep that soil evenly moist for a couple of weeks.
The leaves? The cut leaves?
Yep.
Really?
So you put that stem into the soil.
Wow.
And keep the soil evenly moist. And within about, and if you can put it in a warm spot, and doesn't need to be in direct sun, but in a nice warm spot, in about 2 weeks, you're going to start to notice new leaves forming at the base of that leaf. And
wow.
In about a month, you're going to have a new African violet plant.
And see, and a lot of people get them from people that are good at African violets. They get them from, you know, their mom or their grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to keep them alive and keep them going. And I've always been, you know, terrified to have somebody's heirloom African violet since I haven't been very good at them in the past. But that is so cool.
Yeah. So you can just take those leaves. And if it's an African violet that's gotten overgrown because over time, you know, they reach towards the sun and they get a little leggy and not as attractive as they used to be, you can just
We all do, Tom.
Where's the sun?
We all do.
I'm reaching.
We get not as attractive as we get older, and I don't think that whacking off parts is the solution.
Well, in African violet's case, it is.
Okay.
Maybe in our case, it's not. But
who knows? So it might be an improvement. Whatever.
Yeah, so you can, if it's gotten a little leggy or out of control or isn't doing very well anymore, you can cut off all of those leaves, as I mentioned, tuck them all into a nice, good soil, keep it evenly moist in a warm spot, and probably not in the direct sun at this point. African violets generally don't need a lot of direct sun anyway, but and keep it in a warm spot, and then about a month or so, you're going to have new African violet plants.
Okay, now, say you've got this overgrown African violet, and we're not going to go into the morals of this whole thing, but you have this overgrown African violet, and you whack off all the leaves, and then you carefully root the new little leaves, and you nurture them. Will the old African violet standing there leafless, will it regenerate leaves, or have you murdered it?
It will on the very top of it, but it's going to be very... I guess I can't say unattractive because I already used that.
So you've murdered it, is what you're saying? You've murdered the old African violet to get the new African violets?
Yeah, so you've taken one old African violet and you might have been able to make 30 African violets from that one.
So the African violet is supposed to feel good about this?
Yes, it's its mission in life.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know. Good to know.
I've taken some pictures of me doing this that I'm going to send you.
Do that.
Put them out. Yes.
Do that, please.
So from that, and you can get all of these new plants and have them to share with others or putting them in other rooms, using them as gifts, using them for a multitude of reasons. So you can take a couple of African violets if, like I said, they're at a place where they're not producing very well, and you can really do this and create new plants that will be great for years and years. So, and here's another really interesting thing a friend told me about, and I had never heard, but if you feed your African violets with milk,
okay,
that's going to be very good for them. And so I did a little reading about it, and a couple of generations ago, a lot of folks were doing that, using milk with a lot of their houseplants, just a 60-40 mixture of milk to water, and doing an occasional feeding with them because, of course, the calcium in milk is also not only important in our bone structure as we grow and things like that, but it's also very important in plants' health. It's a micronutrient that our plants need to survive and needs for cell division and also for blooming. So folks would feed their African violets with that milk mixture every once in a while to help promote better, bigger, and brighter blooms. and had been using that for years and years, doing it that way. And it also acts as an organic fungicide.
Really?
Yeah. So you can help it to control powdery mildew and algae on the soil surface and all sorts of things if you're battling that with your houseplant.
I know that some people, either for health reasons or taste reasons, like a variety of different kinds of milk, like almond milk or soy milk or lactose-free milk or fill in the blank.
Or chocolate
milk. Exactly. Now, chocolate milk is not good for dogs, but chocolate milk, because it has a chemical in it, chocolate does, that's similar to caffeine. Dogs' bodies can't process it, and so they can have heart attacks when they ingest chocolate. Now, I would imagine that if you give a plant chocolate milk so that it has more calcium, the soil is being enriched, and it's got that caffeine-like substance in it that will energize it, that you could come downstairs and find like a 6-foot African violet.
It's the new little shop of horrors.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering if you used, I hadn't thought of chocolate milk, but thank heavens for you, if you used a different kind of milk, not cow's milk, if you used a different kind of milk, if it would do the same thing.
As long as it would have calcium in it.
So the calcium is the magical part.
Yes.
Okay.
And like I said, it doesn't have to be a lot and not every time, but once a month, maybe doing a little bit of that. If you're doing a cup, doing 6 ounces of milk or 4 ounces of milk and.
Don't math at me. At this time of the morning.
Anyway, 60% milk, 40% water, whatever that is, in 8 ounces.
And give it a little.
5 to 3.
Right. Give it a little splurp every so often. And yeah.
And you can actually splash it on the soil. And in some houseplants cases, you can actually mix it up into a spray and spray it on the surface of the leaves to help with insect problems and all sorts of stuff. So it's really kind of interesting, and I hadn't heard of this till just a few days ago, and it really is fascinating that milk can be used in a case like that.
Well, I'd be willing to wager that no other morning show is tackling milk for houseplants this morning. So I'm just saying.
I think we're onto something.
I think we're definitely onto something.
We are cutting edge.
We are something. TK, thanks a gazillion. It is fabulous to talk with you as always. And let's do it again in a couple of weeks, shall we?
I'll be here.
All right. Sounds great.
All right.
Tom Casper this morning, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, where you find out about watering your plants with milk. That doesn't mean you're milking your plants, I hope.